بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last week we had discussed an important aspect of adab, etiquettes, showing the correct adab. And adab, al-adabu, adab, manners, all of it is good. There's only khair in adab. If you recall, we mentioned the incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People would come outside the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when Rasulullah sallam would be preoccupied, he would be busy, and it may be his time for resting. And they would knock, or they would call and shout for Rasulullah sallam from outside, "Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, come out to us." They had some question, they had some query, but this was not the right etiquette and manner. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them who shout out to you, call out to you from outside, and they wish you to come out and emerge and see to their needs, most of them, لا يَعْقِلُونَ, they are jahil. They don't have true knowledge and understanding. I'm not sure if I mentioned the incident of Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala, when the verse came, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. That, O believers, do not raise your voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't address him in a loud manner. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Like how some of you talk to one another in a loud manner, loud tone. Don't talk to that, like that. Don't address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? What is the fear? أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That your a'mal, your good deeds will become destroyed without you perceiving and understanding that. That if you raise your voice above that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would be showing disrespect to him, and in doing so, your good deeds will become destroyed. So Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala, a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had a natural loud voice. Naturally, he would speak in a loud manner. When this verse came down, he believed that now he is an inmate of Jahannam, because his a'mal is destroyed, because his voice was higher than that of Rasulullah. So he remained at home. He didn't even come into the masjid. Now, can you imagine the time of Rasulullah? So many sahaba would come daily for salah. Look at the love Rasul had for his sahaba. The large heart he had. The worry, the concern. In Shama'il Tirmidhi, it's a compilation of the ahadith of Rasulullah showing the Shama'il, the features, noble features and characteristics and traits of Rasulullah, the akhlaq of Rasulullah, the mannerism of Rasulullah, the sunnah of Rasulullah. So there it is mentioned, we're discussing about raising your voice. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. So Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas رضي الله تعالى عنه, he remained at home. So in Shama'il Tirmidhi is mentioned that Rasulullah would be so concerned about Sahaba that he would check for his sahaba, if any person was absent, he would query about them. Is he okay? Is he sick? Is something has happened? Why isn't he present? يتفقد أصحابه. He would search for them, look for them. So suddenly Rasulullah says, where is Thabit bin Qais? I don't see him around. One or two days had passed. He sent some sahaba. Ali radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi, they go. They knock on the door. Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas is not answering. Several times, then they find out that he's whispering from inside. And they finally go in and explain to him that Rasulullah is calling you. Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas says, I'm destroyed because I am from the people of Jahannam now. Why? He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. This verse has come down. And I speak so loud, my amal is destroyed. So they come running to Rasulullah SAW. Ya Rasul, this is what Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas is. This is what he's saying, that his amal is destroyed. He is from the people of Jahannam now. Rasulullah SAW goes, tells them, go and call Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas. He comes. He says, O Thabit, lasta min ahli an-nar, innaka min ahli al-jannah. Don't worry, you are not from the people of Jahannam. You are from the people of Jannah. This is Basharat from Rasulullah SAW, glad tidings. He had a natural voice, loud voice. So he was excused. As the Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma after this verse themselves also, when they would talk to Rasulullah SAW, they would talk in a very soft tone. Past awaz se, aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam se, baat karte te. Talk to him in a very soft voice, out of respect. And therefore, a person said, لَيْسَ الْفَخْرُ بِالْمَالِ وَالنَّسَبِ إِنَّمَا الْفَخْرُ بِالْأَدَبِ إِنَّمَا الْفَخْرُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. That it is not honor and pride if a person has abundant wealth, he's very rich, and he's got a very noble lineage, nasab. He comes from certain khandan and family, so now it's something for him to be boastful about, and honor and pride. No. Honor is when a person has knowledge of deen, and he has manners and etiquettes in his life. And therefore Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu will say, تَعَلَّمُوا الْأَدَبُ ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمُوا الْعِلْمُ. Before you learn knowledge, first learn etiquette. Learn adab. So even in when we are seeking knowledge also, ulama have written adab, etiquettes. How a person should seek knowledge, talib al-ilm, a student of deen, in front of his ustad, how he should sit. In hadith of Jibreel, so known as hadith of Jibreel, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned it a few times here in some of our talks, where Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes dressed in a very handsome, as a handsome person, with white clothing, black hair. Sahaba did not recognize him as being somebody from Madinah Munawwara. So it meant that he came from outside Madinah Munawwara. But there was no effects of him undertaking any journey. Person travels from here to Johannesburg or Cape Town. By the time you reach there, your clothes are creased. You've got some stains on your kurta. You can make out you've just traveled and came. Your beard is disheveled. Your hair is disheveled. You can make out the person is tired. He's underwent a long journey. Here this person is immaculately dressed. Black hair. In one riwayat, Sahaba looked at one another. Who is this person? He's not from the people of Medina. But he's a stranger, but he doesn't seem to have been coming from outside Medina, because he's looking so well dressed. Nonetheless, he comes and he sits in attahiyat position in front of Rasulullah SAW. He has his hands placed on his lap in tashahud position. His knees touch the knees of Rasulullah SAW with respect. He asks Rasulullah SAW various questions. Mal iman, mal islam, what is iman? Nabi SAW explained, what is Islam first? What is Islam? Nabi Akram gives the explanation of Islam. Then he asks, what is iman? Then Nabi Akram gives the explanation of iman. And then he says, mal ihsan, what is ihsan? Nabi Akram gives the various explanation that mentioned in the hadith, and then he asked about Qiyamah, when it will take place. Nabi Akram said, the person who is asked knows not more than the person who is asking. Both of us do not know exactly when Qiyamah will take place. Then he asked, what are the signs of Qiyamah? In that particular hadith, Rasulullah gave him some signs. And then this person, when Rasulullah gave the answer, he said, Sadaqta, you've given the right answer. Sahaba was astonished. This man has come to ask a question, Nabi Akram gives him a reply, and he's saying, you have given the right answer. You have spoken the truth. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيُصَدِّقُ. They said, we were astonished. This man is asking the question because he does not know. And then when the answer is given, he's saying, you are right. And after all this, the person goes away. Nabi Kareem calls Umar, Umar, go look for this person, where is he? Could not find him. He said, Atadri mani sa'il. Do you know who this person is? He said, I do not know. Allahu Rasulu alam. He said, Innahu Jibreel atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. It was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who came to you to teach you your deen. But the point the ulama derive from here, the manner in which Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam presented himself before Rasulullah SAW in this particular majlis. He came as a talib, as a student. And he showed the manner and etiquettes. Nonetheless, ulama have got various kitab written, etiquette of visiting the masjid. When a person goes to the toilet, what is the adab, the etiquette there? When you enter your home, the etiquette. When you meet one another, the etiquettes. So all these things are all adab. There was a very great alim by the name of Kisai, rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Kisai was a master in the Arabic language, in grammar. Harun al-Rashid had his two sons, Amin and Ma'mun, royal family. He sends them to this ustad by the name of Kisai for him to teach them Arabic and various other sciences. So they would go to the ustad. One particular day, as the ustad rose now to leave, both of them, they run forward to grab his shoes, to place the shoes of the ustad for him. Now both of them are fighting, because both of them reach there together and both want to do it. So eventually one took one leg, the other took the other leg. One shoe, the other took the other shoe. And then they place it for the ustad. This news reached Harun al-Rashid, who is the king. Harun al-Rashid comes to the ustad, Kisai rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, who is in this town? Anybody greater than the king? He says, no, nobody. You are the most honored, most respected. He said, what about that ustad that when he stands up, the sons of the king, royal family, they run forward to see who can go first and grab the shoe of the ustad and place it down. Is that ustad not greater and more respected than the king? So Kisai rahmatullahi began to apologize that this is not what I wanted, but your sons did. Harun al-Rashid said, no. I'm not angry about this. I'm very pleased by them doing this and showing etiquette to the ustad. Their shan, their status is not getting lower, it's getting higher. And Harun al-Rashid was so impressed that my sons have learned adab. Harun al-Rashid himself was a very great pious person. Allah blessed him with dunya, and also he had taqwa in him. Eventually Harun al-Rashid, because he was so happy with that etiquette his children learned and the manner in which they respected the ustad, he gave the ustad 10,000 dinars and he gave his sons also 10,000 each. So adab. When a person has adab, then he will have respect for society, he'll have love for society, and this is how society will be bonded together, and this is how Islam will flourish. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam in the Quran, Allah said, when he came into Mount Tur, Allah says, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. O Musa, remove your shoes. Remove your shoes. You are in a very sacred valley now. See the adab? He's now going to be talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll be in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The etiquette there is now for him to remove his shoes. The Quran, I mentioned last week, when we were young, we used to tie our Quran in a juzdan and keep it very, very, with great respect, place it on the shelf. You wouldn't find the Quran lying around. Bishar Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi was a drunkard. Before he became pious and Allah Ta'ala made him a wali, his life before that, he was known as a drunkard. One night, in his drunken state, he comes out of the house. As he's walking, he sees some paper on the ground. He looks at it, he sees something written there. He realizes this is an ayat of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala's name was there. So he picks it up. And because it became dirty on the road, he cleaned that little piece of note or page or paper. He applied itar to it. He kissed it. And he preserved it in a nice place in his home. That night he sees a dream. Allah Ta'ala addresses Bishr Hafi in his dream. Allah Ta'ala says, "Oh Bishr, you honored my name. You showed respect and adab to my name. I will also honor you in this dunya." Overnight he became the Wali of Allah. Overnight. So there were instances also, Allah Ta'ala made a person change his life in a split second. And Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi, all of us say Rahmatullahi Ali, because he's a Wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We see, may Allah's mercy be upon him. May Allah's mercy be upon him. Allah Ta'ala honored him in this dunya. So adab for the Quran. How we should hold the Quran. Those days we find, we have a juzdan and everybody would have hold the Quran next to his heart. Nowadays, people very casually hold the Quran. Left hand, swing the Quran with no respect whatsoever. And that is why last week I mentioned also, we should teach our children adab, how they should hold the Quran, how they should place the Quran, the Quran stand also, that also needs to be respected. When you go to some places, especially Haramain Sharifain, Allah forgive us, Allah have mercy upon all of us, Allah guide us. We see it a common practice amongst many people. They tend to put the Quran Sharif on the floor. Person reading Quran doesn't bother. It's a kalam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When it's time for Salat, he places it on the floor. Sometimes on top of the shoes that he's got, his shoes which are filthy, he's brought it inside on the mataf. He takes the Quran, places it on top of his shoe. One of our very great elders, Mawlana Saifur Rahman, Rahmatullah, Adamat Barakatuhum. So one day, he comes out of the Haram Sharif, he sees some commotion there. He goes there. What's happening? He finds this man, he has the Quran in his hand, and people are objecting to him because he placed the Quran on his shoes. No respect whatsoever. So people were trying to explain to him that it's not right what you're doing. So when Maulana went there, this man is telling them, "Produce me one hadith, show me one hadith. You got on Bukhari hadith, Bukhari Sharif hadith. Show me from in Bukhari that you can't place your shoes on top of the Quran." See, this is another problem we have. And unfortunately, us, in our country, we are very gullible people, extremely gullible, with due respect. We go to Haramain Sharifain, any Tom, Dick and Harry, whatever he does, whatever he tells you something, then you feel that is deen. Allah has given us aqal. Allah has given us ulama-i kiram. Ask our ulama. So many times we find something's happening there, we think that that is the correct practice, and then we bring that into our lives. So we also then show disrespect. So he's, and then we also start, "Mawlana, it comes in Bukhari." But every hadith is not only in Bukhari Sharif. Alhamdulillah, we respect. In fact, we teach Bukhari Sharif and we study it in our madaris. After the Quran, all the kitab, Bukhari Sharif is the most high in status. However, every hadith Rasul said is not only found in Bukhari Sharif. It's a Muslim people have. And that's how the Muslim people. And everything you're doing, you can't find a dalil from hadith. So he asks, "I want dalil, I want a proof from hadith. Bring on Bukhari Sharif hadith to say, I can't put my shoes on top of the Quran. Or Quran on top of the shoes." So the only answer to such people, Mawlana Saifur Rahman took that man's shoes, placed it on his own head. His dirty shoes on his head. The man became angry. He said, "What is wrong with you? What are you doing?" Mawlana said, "Show me one hadith from Bukhari that I can't place your shoes on your head. You show me one hadith now that I can't place your shoes on your head." You see? Adab, respect. Kitab, we find over Akabir. Last week I mentioned Akabir, ulama of Dioband. We should not feel ashamed in any way. Those were great giants. We don't read about them. We don't know them. We don't even know their names. We haven't read their biographies. We haven't read their life. Who those people were? Allah chose them. If Allah chose somebody, how can we object? Because he comes from India or Pakistan, They were great, great people who gave their lives, sacrificed their lives for the sake of Allah and Rasulullah. The ittiba of sunnah they had in their lives. Every single sunnah of Rasulullah they will adopt, they will try to bring in their life. Respect, adab. You cannot understand adab anywhere besides these places. This is how, alhamdulillah, in our country, we have seen adab. Even when we take our shoes to the Haram Sharif, I don't know, it's because it might get lost or stolen, but we have a shoe bag. Respect. We don't just leave our shoes lying around anywhere, or place it anywhere we put, or put it on the musalla on the carpet. So these are things that we need to bring in our life. They are simple things. Adab of elders, respect for elders. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, from all the Sahaba, he is number one. Unanimous. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, according to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the greatest of all the Sahaba is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Then it's Umar radiallahu ta'ala, then Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, then Ali radiallahu ta'ala, then the rest of the Ashra Mubashara. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Umar radiallahu ta'ala had some argument. And in that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala tells Umar radiallahu ta'ala something that makes him angry and upset. So Umar wakes up and he goes. Abu Bakr goes behind him, running behind him, trying to apologize. By the time he reaches his home, Umar goes inside and he closes the door. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is feeling bad. He angered Umar. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. I angered Umar. I'm trying to ask him for forgiveness. Umar is not interested. He became very upset. He went into his home. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went inside his home, he realized what I did was wrong. I shouldn't have closed the door upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I made a mistake. Let me go ask him for maaf. So he goes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was not there. So he knew he has to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he comes, and as he comes, Rasulullah addresses Umar directly. Umar, Umar, this is what you have done to Abu Bakr. Nabi Kareem becomes angry with Umar now. So Abu Bakr becomes worried that Nabi Kareem must not do something to Umar because of me. I had made him angry. So quickly he stands up. Ya Rasulullah, I made zulm upon him. He is not at fault. Nabi Kareem does not worry what Abu Bakr is saying. Umar, do you know Abu Bakr's status? He was the person who brought Iman in me when everybody rejected me. He is the one who cared for me. He assisted me with his wealth, with everything he had, when everybody else abandoned me. So respect for the elder, respect for the senior. In the kitabs of adab, it is mentioned, when you are walking with your elders, your parents, your senior, your family members, your elders, you walk just behind them, not in front of them. That is the adab and etiquette. A son should walk behind his father, not in front of his father or directly next to his father. Adab is behind his father. Somebody asked Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhuma, radiallahu ta'ala an. Abbas is the uncle of Rasulullah SAW. Nabi Kareem's father, Abdullah's brother, Abbas. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is just 1 or 2 years elder than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think about 2 years elder. Somebody asked Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, man akbar? You are akbar, you are elder, you are bigger, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the person actually, what did he mean? Who's older in age, you or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now look at adab. Abbas could have said, I am older, I am akbar. He says, who are he, referring to Rasulullah SAW, akbaru minni. Nabi Kareem SAW, he is akbar, greater than me. Yes, wa ana asannu minhu. As far as age is concerned, I came in his world before him. So as far as age is concerned, my age is more than that of Rasulullah SAW. But akbar, greater, it is definitely Rasulullah SAW. See the one word, he could have said akbar, I am older, there's nothing wrong in that. But adab, the taqaza of adab. Adab demanded that you can't say I'm akbar. Because it could mean that I'm greater in other aspects as well. Only in age I'm elder. So he used the Arabic word, asan. I am just older in age. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is elder than me. Hadha Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. He says when you should eat a meal with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you sit down to eat, we would not put our hands into the plate and take any luqma and morsel and begin to eat until Rasulullah sallam would not be the one, should be the first. Until Rasulullah was the first to do it. The moment he took a morsel and he started, he commenced to eat, after that, then only we should begin to eat. We find in the past also, our elders at home, who would sit to eat first? The elderly people. The father, the brothers, the uncles, they would also eat. They would eat first. Then after that, the woman and the children. So of course, this is what we should be teaching our children. Ourselves also. Let the elder enter first, let him exit first. How often a person is going to the toilet, you don't have that shadid taqaza that you want to mess your pants, you can't hold yourself. You see, elderly person, let him go first. This is all our Islamic teachings which we have forgotten. Others have learned it from us and they have adopted these things. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ إِكْرَامَ ذِي الشَّيْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرِ الْغَالِي فِيهِ وَجَافِ عَنْهُ وَإِكْرَامَ ذِي السُّلْطَانِ الْمُقْسِدِ. Out of the ways of honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of those things is إِكْرَامَ ذِي الشَّيْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ, honoring an elderly person. If you honor a white bearded person, an elderly person, in essence, you are honoring and Allah, you are showing respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, another hadith, laysa minna, Nabi Kareem is saying, that person is not of us. He can't say he's my follower. Who? Man lam yarham saghirana, who does not have mercy upon our young ones. Wa lam yuwaqqir kabirana, and he does not show respect to our elders. So he doesn't have mercy on our young ones, and he doesn't have respect for our elderly people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not of us. So the elder, we should give them priority first, show them adab, show them respect. There are so many other incidents and waqiyas of showing respect to the elders. Inshallah, as we go along, we'll mention other incidents as well. Adab for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned already the waqiyah of Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu, and the Bedouins would come and they would shout at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calling him to come out of his house because they had some question. Amongst the adab for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his mimbar. In his lifetime, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit right on top, on the third step, and his leg would be sitting on the second step. After his demise, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the mimbar, out of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu, he would not sit right on top, on the third step. So he would sit on the second step where Rasulullah leg reached. And he would place his leg on the first step. On his demise, when Umar came, Umar, out of respect for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu, he would sit on the first step and his legs would be on the floor. See where the minds went. You didn't need a hadith to show them that. This was natural, this etiquette. Allah Ta'ala guides a person. When you have muhabbat, muhabbat teaches you adab muhabbat. Khud muhabbat sikati hai adab muhabbat ko. Muhabbat, when you have the muhabbat for the person, automatically you will show. When you see some muridin, they have that love for the shaykh, you see them running, putting the shoes right, they open the door. Muhabbat for the shaykh, respect. So muhabbat will teach you adab muhabbat. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, the incident is very long, but we have heard this incident. Now, he resides in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. He had a double-story house, and Nabi Akram stayed downstairs, and Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife are upstairs. Suddenly at night, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala realizes, oh, I'm above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where's the respect? How can I be above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He and his wife, they slept on the edge of the room upstairs. That I must not be above Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While they were upstairs, they had one small earthen jar for wudu, there was water in it. It suddenly slipped out of somebody's hand and the water fell. Now it began to seep. They had date trunk palms as the ceiling, as the roof. So quickly they took their one sheet that they had as a bedding and they began to dab that water and dry that area. So no water must trickle through and fall on Rasulullah and give him taklif. The next morning, Abu Ayyub Ansari tells Rasulullah, it's very difficult for us. And we above you. Nabi Kareem says, don't worry. Finally, Nabi Kareem something goes up and Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife, they stay downstairs. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, in the majlis, in the gathering of Rasulullah, when he would, the moment he would commence speaking, all of them would lower their heads. As though a bird was perched on their heads. The bird is resting on the head. A bird, a small slight gesture and movement, it will fly away. Here the Sahaba are sitting so still, as though a bird was above the head. And sitting close to Rasulullah with adab. Even after the demise of Rasulullah, they still had respect for Rasulullah. In the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he's there, and two people have raised their voices, they're talking loudly. This also against the etiquette of a masjid. And this is now masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even more. Umar radiallahu ta'ala summons those two people. He calls them, who are you? Where are you from? Are you from Medina? He said, we are from Taif. He said, if you people were from Medina, I would have given you all a hiding. I would have given you all a beating. You are fortunate that you are out of Medina, so you do not know, or you are ignorant of the etiquettes of the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are raising your voice in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, you and I also, when we go for Umrah, we forget the adab of Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have seen so many people, South Africans, laughing and joking. Even though you might be not be sitting in front, you may be away, but you're in the Masjid of Nabi Kareem Sallam. You meet the person, fine. But laughing and joking and talking about every other thing of the dunya. Totally against the etiquette of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Adab, no adab you are showing. You rather go to the hotel room and you can talk there. If you cannot engage in zikr, dua, you tired, then you may leave. But not in the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, playing with your phone and sending messages and this video, his pictures there. How hurtful it is, how hurtful when you are going for salam and almost every person, in front of the Rosa Mubarak, each one is putting out his phone. And as you're entering the masjid, already the phone's out and they're taking pictures. How hurtful it is. That much aqal we don't even have. We have lost our adab totally, completely. All this is ujab, pride, our hearts have become so sick. That aqal that we had, that aqal is gone. Remember I said what Allah Ta'ala said. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ They are jahil. Now because other people from other countries are doing it, we also start doing it. Adab, respect. If you need to carry your phone, make sure you don't start taking it out and taking pictures. No need to take a picture there. What are you going to show? What are you? We've seen the pictures. We've seen with our own eyes. And this is something we need to bring in our lives and teach our children and teach the people going for Hajj and Umrah. So annoying. You're right there, right there. You have to make your salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Person in front of you, on the side of you, behind you, all taking pictures. May Allah ta'ala give us hidayat. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Daril Hijra. What a great jurist, what a great alim. Imam Malik rahmatullah, the adab he had for the city of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such, he won't even relieve himself in Madina Munawwara itself. To relieve himself, he had an urge to relieve himself, he'll go just in the outskirts of Madina, relieve himself and quickly step into Madina because he did not want to die out of Madina Sharif. But he'll go and relieve himself just outside the boundaries of Madina Munawwara. So many of the great ulama of the past, they won't even walk would choose in Madina Murawa. You don't have to eat. I mean, they had adab, they had that type of adab and respect. Imam Malik Rahmatullah is teaching hadith, and the scorpion is biting him. For out of respect for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he bore the pain, the sting of the scorpion. Several times it bit him. After the lesson, and the lesson wasn't for 5 minutes and half an hour. For hours they would teach. When he removed his kurta, the students saw the scorpion had bit him so many places. Oh, Ustad, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you tell us? He said, I could not do it. With respect for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So respected brothers and elders, these are all or some of the things that we need to bring into our lives. Adab. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. A few other more adab. There are so many things we could discuss. How when you enter a home, the adab for entering a person's home. When you leave the person's home, when you meet, when you make salam. Adab for every single thing in deen. Inshallah, if you bring adab in our lives, then our lives become straightened. Alhamdulillah, to a great extent, people in this country, because of the barakat of our mashayikh, ulama, they have taught us mannerism, etiquettes, adab, but you must not lose this adab. Because of the environments we are living in, influence of the internet and all the haram things and social media, and when we meet other people of other places who do not have that adab and respect that we were taught, then we also become like that. May Allah Ta'ala give me hidayat, give all of us hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.